with Isaiah 53, verses 1 to 9, on page 740 of your pew Bibles.
Who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot, and like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain. Like one from whom people hide their faces, he was despised, and we held him in low esteem. Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering, yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him. By his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away, yet who of his generation protested? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people he was punished. He was assigned a grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, though he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The second reading is from Luke chapter 23, starting at verse 32. Two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him there, along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, "He saved others. Let him save himself, if he is God's Messiah, the chosen one." The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine vinegar and said, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." There was a notice above him which read, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. "Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God," he said, "since you are under the same sentence. We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus answered him, "Truly, I tell you today, you will be with me in paradise." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Just before Andy comes up, Lord, we just pray for Andy as he comes up to speak to us. May his words be the words you have put on his heart, and may you open the ears of the congregation to hear your words. Amen.
Good morning. Thank you.
For me, forgiveness is at the centre of all that Jesus is doing in Luke's account. And I'm sure that we understand that at any point, as Jesus fixed his eyes on Jerusalem, knowing that the cross was waiting for him, that he had the power to turn back or just turn and walk away from the cross. But when that decision could have been made in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus said to God his Father, "Not my will, but yours be done." And I'm sure that we truly have grasped that this could have happened. But out of love for us, Jesus took what we deserve so that we have what he alone can give us. In the words of William Walsham Howe, who was an Anglican bishop alive in the late 18th century, who wrote, "I sometimes think about the cross and shut my eyes and try to see the cruel nails and crown of thorns and Jesus crucified for me. But even could I see him die, I could but see a little part of that great love which, like a fire, is always burning in his heart." Now, we should be amazed at this, that as soon as we belong to Jesus, his love for you and I will never die. The Church of England is called today Christ the King. But I've added to that because I think it's important. My title today is "With Me, Christ, Your King." And our reading from Luke has kingship and kingdom within it. But there's so much more in Luke's account that should excite us, convince us, and amaze us. That God's eternal saving plan, first mentioned in Genesis 3:15, after Adam had brought sin into this world, well, it's been fulfilled through Jesus on the cross. And if we were to travel through the Old Testament, there are numerous words of prophecy which are pointers or signposts showing that God is slowly bringing in his gift of forgiveness. Through some words from Isaiah, who some 700 years before the birth of Jesus, and his God-given words predicted or pointed to a Saviour in Isaiah 53, who would be a loving, suffering, and despised servant. God would provide this suffering and despised servant, and he would deal with sin once and for all. But why does God forgive? Well, God through Jesus is in the business of saving sinners. God is the greatest investor in people that there has ever been, so that he can be their God, and they, you and I, can be his people. Luke's account tells us there were three crosses, and on those crosses, two deserve to be there and one does not. And in Isaiah 53, verse 12, there's another prophecy or signpost pointing towards God's loving, suffering servant. And I quote, "He will be numbered with the transgressors." And the two transgressors or sinners with whom Jesus is numbered deserve to be there. However, these two had two different views of the loving and suffering servant who was the innocent one in the middle. And these two views are the same views of people today. But what was happening needs to be seen as an amazing account of what took place and what was said. This account from Luke is both, yeah, joyful, and yet very sad. Because of the way, only one criminal turns to Jesus in a last breath of life.com realization. And what he has to say should be a wake-up call to everyone. The repentant thief gives us the perfect example of the biblical truth that salvation and forgiveness is a gift. A gift of God's grace that all receive through faith and not by works. The two thieves have been sentenced to death for their sins by the laws of the land. However, according to Jesus, their sins were forgivable. That can be challenging for some people who see themselves as, well, I'm not as bad as the others. And if people today were to actually think about sin, they would probably grade their sins as nothing, like the two criminals. And despite what Jesus has been through, is going through, and enduring on the cross in Luke's account, he calls out in prayer in verse 34, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. What a remarkable example for you and I to consider. And I wonder how many times do we ask ourselves, is my forgiveness towards others as big as this? And then I wonder, was it this forgiveness that Jesus cried out that the repentant thief heard, that made him rethink everything that was wrong with what he had done? Or was it the realization that he was dying and would then face God? I don't know what it was that made one man repent whilst the other died in his sins with no forgiveness that was available from the closest and the only Saviour who was right next to him. All I see is that forgiveness is pouring out of Jesus. And the repentant criminal's view of Jesus shows everyone, you and I, about the way to be saved by Jesus Christ. As his voice says what we have to do. In verse 40, he said, he knows what he is facing next. He will face God on his own as a sinful man. And in verse 41, he admits his sinfulness. And the cross is what he deserves. Verse 41, full acknowledgement of Christ's innocence. Verse 42, he acknowledges the kingship of Jesus and he believes that Jesus has a kingdom coming in and he wants to be there. And the fifth example in verse 42 is a prayerful cry that begged Jesus to remember him. What a stunning transformation that has taken place in this repentant man. Now, I believe that we understand these five examples in one way or another. Otherwise, we would not be church here today. What is also remarkable is this man is the only one at the skull who knows who Jesus is. This broken and sorry man alone knows what Jesus can do for him. And he alone knows what he must do to be saved. And it appears that he's accepted completely the sign above Jesus saying, King, King of the Jews. He believes that Jesus is a king with a real kingdom that exists after death. And all of this is an absolute wow. Charles Haddon Spurgeon wrote, the moment a sinner believes and trusts in his crucified God, his pardon at once he receives, redemption in full through Christ's blood. In other words, sincere faith in Jesus is sincerely blessed and rewarded by Jesus. I'm closing now with some thoughts about a truly remarkable statement from Jesus, which Luke has recorded in verse 43. And Jesus replies immediately to this broken and sorry man when he says in verse 43, "I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise." I've read this verse a number of times, and I've just whipped through it and got to paradise. I've slowed down now. I've had to slow down as I've panicked a bit through trying to do this talk. And I wonder what draws people's attention to this wonderful sentence. For me, truth comes first. I tell you the truth. I don't know how many times Jesus says, "I tell you the truth," in the Bible. But we know that Jesus walked his talk, for he lived by what he said. And this broken man is going to receive what is true. And then he's told today, not tomorrow, or next week, or maybe a month or two, but today, as soon as he dies, today. And then Jesus says, "You will be." Jesus knows where this man will be. His future destination is already guaranteed. And then, notice how Jesus says, "with me," before he says the place of paradise. Now we should marvel at this truth. And we need to soak in it for a while. So as soon as the forgiven man dies, he will be with Christ. And this should also be our focus as we come closer through every day to leaving this earth to be with Christ. And then lastly, Jesus says the place in paradise. And Jewish literature explains paradise as eternal blessing in God's presence. Jesus found this repentant sinner was worthy of being with him in glory in God's presence. And that is our future as well. So let us take verse 43 into our hearts and into our minds as we finish our time together and go out into the world today. And I'm finishing with amen to that.
Thank you, Andy. We thank you, Lord, for your forgiveness.